Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's my check!
Ladies and gentlemen, almost live, it's Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. How are you, horny babies? It's great to be back. How are you, Lex?
I'm horny, I'm proud, and I'm extremely happy as of now.
Now, why would you be extremely happy today?
Cameron, there's something that we must discuss. And that is the Gong Show is over,
it's
baby.
It's done, yes!
This is our last episode where we have to discuss the Gong Show.
We're finally free!
Maybe.
I think we are. I think we definitively have to say we are done with the Gong Show.
That's it. That was the last episode. We just watched the finale of the Gong Show.
And we decided that we need to discuss it. Mm-hmm. We need to discuss the legacy of the show, our journey through it, and who better to bring on to discuss that with us than one of our all-time favorite babies. One of the horniest bubs.
You are a very horny bubby.
Yeah, one of the cheekiest monkeys.
Yeah, I'm pitching a little tent in a nappy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's King Baby himself, Tom Walker.
Hello,
Tommy Baby. Finally, we've got Tommy on the show.
Finally.
Fuck.
We've been warning Tommy on the show, but he refuses to respond to any of our tweets.
It's true, he doesn't tweet back to us, but now we got our Tommy on the show.
Mm.
And
you'll
do. We're trying for Tommy Little.
Yeah, as we all are. But unfortunately, you just got a little Tommy.
Oh.
In career terms, I'm 6'3".
Yeah, you're very tall.
But no profile what to speak of.
But Tom Walker, thank you for joining us again. This is your fourth time on the podcast. You're one of our most frequent frequenters on the podcast that we frequently put out.
How many more times do you reckon you could say frequent?
Well, I'm scared of saying it again.
Welcome back to the Mic Check Republic. How do you feel about joining us for this final Gong Show episode?
I feel, as a proud listener of the Gong Show, I've always said...
Is this something you're proud of?
Oh, sorry, a proud listener of the Mic Check. I've always said I'm a listener of Mic Check first, Australian second, heterosexual third. It's wonderful to be here and see with my own eyes the complete disintegration that's taken place in your two's lives.
Yeah.
During a lot of this, you guys were looking for any excuse not to actively engage in the content that was on screen.
God.
There were constant pop-up ads that were interrupting the stream. And every time...
We are watching it on a Russian stream. That's how we do... Because the Gong Show is not available in Australia. You think the Australian public would be into this kind of thing. And, you know, something like Channel 9 would relish the opportunity to broadcast it to one of the largest bastions of Mike Myers fans in the world is in Australia. No small part due to our broadcasting of his career. But they didn't do it. You think they would see that there's an opportunity to make a couple of beans on this? They didn't fucking do it. We have to go on an illegal Russian stream. We're infected with many viruses and spam bots. You know, we're helping a corrupt empire that is slowly corrupting the entire world with a neo-conservative movement, and we're stuck supporting it in one of the most heinous ways possible, just so we can get a little bit of Mike on our screens to discuss it. You know, it's a huge conflict of interest for me. I'm not into this kind of thing at all.
Every time this you're trying in the stream, you have to retweet an article that talks about American crimes
and how we should pay for content.
Honestly, this is not my bag, baby, to support this shit, and it's upsetting to me.
Are you all right?
I'm cool, baby.
Okay, but you feel good now that it's done, because, ladies and gentlemen, as you would know from listening to this, we have not hid the fact that we have not enjoyed this show.
Or we've had a difficult relationship with the Gong Show. There has been moments of pure ecstasy. Iconic Mike moments have happened on this show.
May I just say, Dana and Mike reuniting.
Dana and Mike reuniting was one of the most best moments of my entire year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've had a pretty good year.
You've had a very good
year. It's been a good run for me this year.
You finally lost your V-plates, dude.
Yeah, I can't find them, but, you know, other good things have happened.
You got to put them back in the car so everyone knows they're driving behind a virgin.
Dude, what was it like losing your virginity?
It was really... Honestly, guys, I got to tell you, it felt so nice.
Yeah,
like, just really that sweet release.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that... Honestly, like, it felt good most of it.
Yeah.
But that ending...
Oh, my goodness.
That's nice. Yeah, like, that just the final little bit. That's so
nice. It sort of feels like a massage. Do you know what I mean? It's like getting a nice massage and you're trying to get that knot out, but in this case, it's a nut.
You get that knot out, dude.
For me, as a fan of narrative, it's just so satisfying to have a happy ending.
Exactly, because it's got the things I care most about a story. You got a build up, you get a climax, and then you get a denouement.
And you got a climax. And a strong female protagonist.
Yeah. And can I ask you, if you had to compare having sex to any kind of dessert or baked good, what would you say it feels like?
Well, honestly, it feels like one of the most traditional American pieces of culinary work.
What's that?
Warm apple pie.
Okay. All right. Okay. McDonald's or homemade?
McDonald's, baby. Okay. Perfect shape and size.
I never understood why Jason Biggs didn't just duck off to Macca's. Go on a Macca's run.
Yeah, because honestly, that is a perfect shape and size.
It's shaft shaped.
Yes, but a normal apple pie, not a deep dish.
No way.
No way. You got to put your little pinner in and it's not going to do any damage.
Give me a couple of Macca's appies and I'll fucking fill them up with my own custard.
And then even now they're serving a chocolate pie there, so you can get the best of both worlds right now.
Oh,
can you cut that bit out?
No, absolutely not. That's canon.
Sorry, I just know I'm familiar with the McDonald's menu.
Yeah. Hey, I'm loving it.
Hey, Tom, you're pretty quiet.
Yeah, man. I figured I'd just sit back and let this unwind.
Sorry, we just been to counteract, this is a private thing that we will discuss. To counteract the Gong Show, which has been the main media we've ingested, Cam and I have actually both been watching the American Pie films just to bring a bit of joy. Like, separately,
you've been going from dregs to classics.
Yeah.
Separately, by pure coincidence, we have been watching American Pie.
Yeah.
So we are discussing the final episode of the Gong Show, and like we have hinted at, this has been a real curse for us.
Yeah.
Because when we started this project, we were two film critics of high esteem in Australia. Just in case you don't know that is who we are.
Yeah.
Highly esteemed.
Don't
film
look
critics.
It up or
don't
anything.
Google it. You just need to take our word for this. And so we're very comfortable analyzing cinema. We're very comfortable analyzing comedy. And Mike Myers was the exact middle ground of those two things. And so we were experts coming in, doing something that we love.
We started as experts. We ended as Shrek-sperts.
Yeah. So now we're all gonged out. Because our biggest dream was to hopefully find out why Mike Myers was no longer on our screens and to kind of spur something on. We wanted Mike to come back into our world.
And fair to say, our wish came true.
Yes, but much like a genie,
we
should have been more specific with what we wished for.
I got to be honest, as one of the featured players on Whose Line Is It Anyway, Australia, season one, which I, of course, clarify because, as we all know, season two should be just around the corner. Just around the corner. You haven't got any emails yet. It's really good to see this happen to someone else. Just have a childhood dream come true and then realize that you didn't quite word it.
Oh, God. Yeah, it is. You have described listening to us go through the Gong Show as a monkey's paw curse. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that Shrek would be the worst it could get for you guys around Shrek the Turd. But unfortunately, the Gong Show's resurgence just meant you completely realized that you shouldn't have gotten what you wished for.
No, we were so excited when the news announced and it was all mysterious. Is it Tommy? Is it Mike? Who is this guy?
You were thrilled when we watched him on Kimmel.
Yeah.
With Will Arnett. We liked their tete-a-tete together.
Yeah, we thought that there was something very horny about their dynamic and chemistry.
And then when it comes to Will Arnett, I think that's like what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
We will discuss this in great detail because part of the mic check journey for us has been charting the uproarious highs and starts of our favorite comedian's career to the kind of diminishing returns and decline of their filmic career and to somewhat of a return in real time, not in real time, but in over several years.
Yeah.
And now we have watched in real time the decline of Will Arnett.
Yeah, it happened. We saw it. I mean, this is a guy, when he was announcing the show on Kimmel, he was so excited about it. He was so thrilled to introduce the world to Tommy Maitland and to introduce Tommy to the world.
And I think that's where the passion of this show lies.
Yeah.
Is about bringing this weird character to life.
Yeah, but then Will was in a lot of these episodes.
Every second episode, Will Arnett was a guest host.
Yeah. And also, he was the executive producer of the show. He was heavily involved in The Gong Show.
At least to the public, to what the show has been putting out there through the media, whether it be corrupt Russian media or you know, real legitimate media, fake news, real news, who
or
knows
the
what.
Lamestream media,
whatever, dude. He has been the real figurehead of the creativity behind the show as well, the creative force pushing the show.
And what a head that is, an iconic figurehead.
He's got a huge forehead, even a five head.
I would say it's a five head. I would. That's a really funny word, by
the
way.
It's funny as shit, dude.
That's really That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, thanks, brother. I really appreciate it when my friends support me and tell me that I do funny shit out there, you know, man?
Dude, you should do that on stage.
Honestly, if you guys see me out there, just tell me, thanks, man, you did really funny shit up there today. That's what I want to hear from people.
Okay.
That's honestly what I want to hear.
Okay, I'll do it.
I want that feedback, man. Coming straight back at me, you know?
That's so, good.
Guys, you don't want feedback. You've specified compliments.
Guys, thanks for giving me that feedback. I appreciate it. I'll use it to, you know, just get more of my shit out there.
More five head type gear.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I might even go up to six.
That's pushing it, I reckon.
Hey, you honored the mic tonight? Yeah, I got subbed in. Alexi was about to do his spot, but he couldn't find someone with a big forehead in the crowd to do his five head bit.
I was going to go up to 11 tonight. Didn't quite work, you know, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that's good. That's funny, dude.
Cool.
I love Spinal Tap. No, I think Will... there was a moment in the second last episode where, you know, they're singing the Shaving Cream song. The iconic Shaving Cream song that everyone knows and loves.
Yeah.
Where the camera panned across all the judges who were singing along, and I think Jack Black was giving it a spirited go, and then it got to Jennifer Aniston, and she was dead-eyed.
Barely mouthing
it. Not even moving her mouth, just kind of staring straight ahead, and then it moved along to Will, and he was singing along really spiritedly, and then he looked at Jen and saw what she was doing, and I saw his face change, and I saw him realize that this was bad.
Yeah, it is bizarre.
I saw it dawn on him that he was like, oh, fuck, I didn't... This is a bad show.
Yeah, he got caught up in it. Like, because there's so many reasons to get caught up in this. It's Mike Myers.
Yeah.
It's a reboot of a classic format with new stars.
Yeah.
And again, Whose Line Is It Anyway, Australia?
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah,
no, this is like... It was incredible just watching that one moment where you realized, oh, no.
Yeah.
I've done so badly.
I think it is partially his fault as well, because I think The Gong Show, what it could have been for this new generation, could have been literally a reboot of that part of, you know, joyous celebration of weirdness, of, you know, shitty acts and anti-humor, and to celebrate that. But all of the things that get gonged off straight away are the things that are truly terrible and... or like, you know, the real weirdos. Like, there was a guy that was just like strumming his head playing in William Tell Overture, and just like it making a weird sound coming out of his mouth, and he looked like, you know, a real, like a tiny man made out of clay. And that is the kind of thing that should be celebrated.
He looked
on
like
this
an
show.
Anti-fertility idol. Exactly. Something you'd give to an ancient woman to make sure her puss dried up forever.
The guy looked like Dobby come to life out of real human flesh. And it was this, it was a kind of thing where this is the only thing this guy can offer the world of any kind of entertainment or joy. And it sucks. And that's why it should have been celebrated. But he get gonged off pretty much straight away by Will Arnett.
Yeah, what do they want on this show? You know what I think? I think in the last two episodes, because Will Arnett was in both of them, he just wanted it to be over. He was gonging like every second guest.
That second last step with Jennifer Aniston and Jack Black and Will Arnett as the judges, almost every single act got gonged off. There were two that didn't.
It was a meat grinder.
Yeah, really. It was almost like he was
I missed 40 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, and then when you got here, you spilled coffee everywhere.
Yeah, let the record show, Tom Walker was in bed by the time we did start watching the Gong Show.
Yeah.
And then he came over, he brought coffee to make in Cam's house.
Not just like he bought coffees, like he picked up coffees for us. No, he brought like
his ground grinder, his plunger. Bean.
Yeah, and then started making it in my living room, and they just spilt beans all over the
floor. Not beans, coffee grinds, like coffee the powder grinds. Of coffee.
Yeah.
And
I was, to be honest,
thrilled that I had to get up and vacuum.
I
was furious.
The way you welcomed the sound of the vacuum cleaner showed me that you were just so happy to get away. You kept vacuuming after it all been cleaned up.
Yeah, I started vacuuming things that were nowhere near the coffee just because I was like, oh, I may as well just get a bit of work done while this is on.
Yeah. But, there's something someone's... Like, we're recording this at, 10 a.m. now. We had to...
Midday.
Okay,
it's been a few hours. We had to watch the Gong Show.
Oh, you're right. I refuse to acknowledge that I was watching the Gong Show.
Yeah.
But it was so unseemly about getting to your house at 9:30 a.m. to watch the Gong Show.
Well, actually, you woke up at 10 a.m. when we called you to find
which
out
which is
where
why
you were.
I woke up at 10 a.m. instead.
Yeah.
But it's the Will Arnett thing is what really frustrates me here, because like you guys have said, he is one of the most successful voice actors in the world right now. He is the Lego Batman. Who is probably the best Batman right now? He's the best thing in the DC universe happening on our screens. And also, he is the star of BoJack Horseman.
Yeah. You know what? Sorry, just to backtrack. You think that he's the best thing in the DC universe? That can't be true if you're talking about the DC universe that I know and love, the Deadpool comedy universe. Chimichanga.
Chimichangas, honestly, that's the reboot. It's not warm apple pie anymore. You're sinking it into a deep fried chimichangas now.
Oh my god, Jason, Deadpool was in American Pie reboot.
His big comes home, his dad comes home and Deadpool's just there fucking a pie. But he's made it into looking like a babe.
Yeah, it's like a bent over babe.
Yeah.
How awesome
would
it
be? Or maybe Jason Biggs fucking the pie, but he's holding it just in front of Deadpool's butthole and his dick's going through the pie and it's Deadpool. Cool. And Deadpool's like, ooh, that's what she said every time his butt makes a fart sound.
How awesome would it be if the boys from American Pie, they're like, hey man, we passed our school exams, let's go to college. Which college should we go to? Well, there's a really cool party college, and they go meet Van Wilder. One second, Van Wilder tries to fuck a pie. It goes horribly wrong, gets burned all over his whole skin. That's Deadpool's new origin story, baby.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome, dude.
And then Deadpool's new sidekick is that dog that they all jerk off.
Yes.
Wow. What?
Haven't you seen Van Wilder?
Nah.
Oh, dude. It's a classic.
I've seen The Rise of Tar.
Dude, there is a scene in Van Wilder where they all jerk off a dog heaps of times.
Wait, Red Rocket style?
Red Rocket style. Okay. They fill up empty eclair buns with its cum.
Oh,
and then
wait.
Someone eats all the dog cum.
They give them to their enemies with. And then they're like, ha ha. And then no one brings up the fact that wait, you guys jerked
off
a dog?
You guys spent ages jerking
off
a dog.
For literally hours?
Yeah.
Did Bert Kreischer do that in real life?
The Machine, dude, yeah.
That's what The Machine's about?
Probably, man.
That's awesome shit, dude. I love those pranks.
A great idea is registering a Sydney Fringe show as a life story, crazy stories show, but it's all stories from the American Pie universe. But told from the perspective of a character.
Imagine a one-man show, American Pie style thing, where you're just then my friend Shitbreak had a sip of laxative spiked coffee, and then you become Shitbreak. You're like, oh god, I gotta take a dump. I mean, I love this.
I love that kind of shit. Anyway, Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, so this show to me is like a fucking midlife crisis in a bottle. We get to see him excited about his gritty reboot, and then even in that second last episode, he has a goatee. The man's 47. He's got a great tan, a sweet denim jacket.
Yeah.
But you also see in his eyes the regret setting in that he should have just stuck to what he was doing. Mm. He is not happy. He thought these changes would make him happy.
He's become BoJack Horseman. He has become BoJack.
You theorized something very interesting, Cameron.
What was that? What did I theorize?
That you theorized that this was perhaps him trying to remind everyone that he is a celebrity.
Well, yeah, because we've noticed throughout this show that a lot of the acts come on here and they are they love Will Arnett. Mm. Like, a woman did a painting of Will Arnett.
In a couple of seconds.
In one of the earliest episodes, a girl opened up her shirt and she had big photos of Will Arnett all over herself.
But that's not actually a compliment, because that's calling him a boob.
Oh, dude. But I'd love to be a tit. Oh, my God.
Fuck. Imagine if all your job was just hanging out at the front of a girl's chest.
That was your job, man. That was your job, dude.
Sorry, dude. I got to clock in. I'm late for work. Cindy's only got one tartar today.
Dude, I'd get there early every day. And I'd work overtime.
Your whole day. And then in your time off, you're just drinking milk. So you're full of it when the time comes to go to work.
No. So I think I had this weird thought that maybe this whole show was built up to mythologize Will Arnett as sexy and a crazy, cool celebrity. Mm. Even Tommy's banter with Will Arnett all the time is always like,
sexy.
He's so hot and horny. Yes. And then he'll
it's
say
me
stuff
again,
like,
not Mike Myers, and I want to fuck Will Arnett.
And he's always saying stuff like, he throws around, like when he introduced the pizza guy, he's like, this guy throws more dough than Will Arnett at a strip club. And
which
I was like,
proves,
does Will Arnett actually, is that what he's famous for? Or is this show
no,
just building up Will
Arnett?
No, he's
famous for Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He should be like, this guy's as stuck in his own childhood state of regression, much like what Will Arnett is most known for, Arrested Development. You know, that's what he should be doing, reminding everyone of the good times.
This next act is a magician, much like breakout character Joe Bluth in the TV show Arrested Development featuring Will Arnett, which of course has a fourth series. I haven't seen it, but people speak of it disparagingly.
I have not seen season four just yet, but the first three seasons, very good stuff, sir.
Guys, you guys are doing great Tommy Maitland impression.
Well, yeah, we're trying to write for the guy.
Which brings me to my next question I'd like to ask you both. Was there anything successful in this experiment of bringing Tommy Maitland to America and the world?
I think as a concept, it's extremely successful. Like, I think the whole mythology that we bought into of trying to find out if it is Mike Myers, mm-hmm. if it's not Mike Myers, mm-hmm. is Tommy Maitland real? I think that was thrilling stuff. And the idea of the backstory of this guy being so fascinating to me, I think that's what the show should have been. Like, we even went down, it was mainly me. I did go fucking insane and theorize that he is the father of Simon the Bath Boy, an SNL character from 1989. And
that was a dark time in the podcast.
Honestly, I believe that too.
It was really uncomfortable. I could hear the post-it notes in the background rustling on the wall, joined together by pins and little bits of string.
But what do you think, Tom? Do you think there was anything like successful about the character? Did you enjoy the character?
I'm the same. I really loved the concept. I thought it was such a fucking insane thing to be like, Mike Myers is back, but we're not acknowledging it. I thought it was such a cool move, such a weird artsy comedy move. Mm. I hate Tommy Maitland. His head is too big. Mm. It contains no expression. I hate the way he laughs because it's so weird seeing someone laugh in character.
Yeah.
Like, it telegraphs the fact that it's not real. Mm. And then also the fact that, like, oh, his head's so big. It's so clearly false.
Yes.
It's like he's wearing just a mask where you can only see the eyes and the mouth. Mm. And then, like, all of his delivery is just slightly weird. Like, he pauses strange. Oh, yeah.
I think they put too much weight onto the shoulders of Mike Myers as Tommy Maitland. Mm.
Is the weight from that giant head?
Yeah, that giant head. He does look like a Funko Pop vinyl character as well. But I think there's too much weight on his shoulders where he's got too much responsibility to be funny, be in character, host this show. But he doesn't have the freedom to riff so much because there's so many fucking acts. There's such a big audience. There's three judges as well. And the judges aren't really game enough apart from Dana Carvey because they have that huge history of working together and being buddies and, you know, riffing off each other. That's been the only time where he's had a bit more freedom to get out there and have fun and muck around with them and play with the format. But because it's got so much shit going on this show, he only ever has the opportunity to maybe chat to the band once an ep and then have to fucking go, this next act is garbage. Oh, and how sad was it that they got gonged off? Oh, please cheer up. Like, and he has to literally cheer the acts up after they've been gonged off.
Yeah, that broke your heart.
In the musical comedy act.
There was one act that really, really fucked me up today. Honestly, it was so sad to see it.
Should we describe the start of it?
In great detail, I must describe this act.
And now we sit.
Because it really, honestly, that was the lowest point for me in this whole series.
Yeah.
Like, there's been some real shit things we've seen that have been too crazy and out there and, like, you know, like, you know, weird circus people eating fire and, like, slitting themselves up on
stuff. Autistic white boy rappers on broken glass.
That was in this episode as well, where there was a guy who, not unlike
a 16-year-old boy
who had sleeves far too long for him, going all the way up his hands, who was like, people say I'm not a good rapper, so I showed them that I can rap while walking on broken glass with bare feet. I'm like, all right, man. That's cool, bro.
You're the next Eminem.
The raps.
Yeah,
man.
Awesome, dude. Great work. I hope you don't fucking cut up your feet.
JK, I hope you do. Yeah. Hope you hit an artery.
But then there was this one act that truly, really mucked me up, and really, I'm coming on.
That's all right. Calm down. That's right. Talk us through it.
It was an act that I could see them so clearly. As soon as they came out, I saw them. You know, like the movie Avatar?
You don't just mean you witnessed them, you mean you saw who they were.
As soon as they came out, you could see their souls.
Yeah, it's not unlike James Cameron's Avatar when they're like, I see you. And it means I see the true you and everything for you are.
Yeah.
I saw them. They were kind of like a fringe festival act, but, you know, a nice university review duo.
Yeah. To be clear, I think when we say fringe festival act, it would be their first fringe festival, no matter how many times they'd done it.
Yes.
And it would be some kind of, like, pun show title, like Singing the Blues. And then they'd be holding a big book that said blue on the cover.
Yes.
And looking through it like, ooh.
I actually would go see that. That sounds fucking cool.
Thanks, dude. I'm just working on concepts.
Awesome. But they're two very talented young people, probably in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Musically talented people on very funny performers. Like, they can sell...
I don't know if they're funny performers.
Yeah, you're giving them way too much credit.
They're musical theatre performers. Yeah, they're very... confident.
Yes, and they could sell.
Alexi's doing a thing where he confuses funny for sitting down
and trying.
They sat down at the piano as a podcaster. Those two things have become synonymous to
him. If you saw these two on stage acting in some law review, you'd probably come away going, they were the standouts.
Yeah, they were really good. They committed to it, and they had like big movements and smiling faces.
Yeah,
and they were trying really hard, but they did that thing that kind of performer does. Whereas instead of they've got an opportunity to perform for a lot of people around America and via Russian streams around the rest of the world, where they're like, oh, we're doing this big opportunity. Instead of doing something we've already done, let's sit down and write something specifically tailored to this event, which is 100% of the time a humongous mistake.
Yeah, they sat
to
down.
Always do that.
They sat down and began the song, and the song begins at this grand piano.
Mm.
The man, the two people, a man and woman, the man kind of playing the piano a bit more, and then the woman singing
along.
Yeah. And the first line of it is, we need to, like, something like,
we need to make some money. And then the girl goes,
I've got an idea. How about we perform on the Gong Show?
And straight away, already you're like, it's like, oh, well, they should have filmed this backstage, because right now they actually are performing on the Gong Show. And this is embarrassing for the continuity.
Why are they talking about going on the Gong Show?
You
when
are
on
there.
The Gong Show?
There's an AD with his finger in his ear, just like, yeah, I know. I see them on stage, but they're talking about being on stage. I don't understand what's going on out there.
I'm freaking out.
I'm trying to get Tommy to get his attention, but all of his vertebrae are fused together as a result of that giant head, and he's not responding to anything. He can't see the comedy. You can't even feel his legs.
And I think this was like a really hard moment for me, and probably for them as well, because then we cut into Mike Myers as Tommy Maitland, whose start is probably not unlike this. You know, he is a guy with a lot of musical talent and performance and like character performance. This is the kind of thing that he got started doing at UCB, but he was very good at it and cool at it and got how comedy works. So you should always do like something that you've planned a lot and has worked and tested. I mean, the guy tested Austin Powers out as the front man for a band for people before he wrote a movie about him. Ming T, baby.
BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, BBC Five, BBC Six, BBC Seven, BBC Heaven.
And that is not where we are at the moment. but then we cut to Jack Black, same kind of thing, musical comedian. Ooh. The guy does high kicks, funny shit, you know? Funny shit. Mm. Unfortunately, he didn't do it on the show, which I was upset by. But, you know, and then it cut to him, and he had like a real look of, oh God, what are they doing? Because he He sees them too. These are the kind of mistake that you try not to make when you're out there in the world trying to be a funny-as-shit performer.
You're watching people get their break a bit too soon, yes. I think. Like, get an opportunity to perform for an audience that they shouldn't be performing for. This is like if they were doing a song at their mate's birthday and they wrote a song just for that.
Oh, yeah.
Great idea.
21st
speech. But you know what? It reminds me so much of that whenever you're at a 21st, which I go to a lot of.
Yeah.
I'm at a lot of 21st. I'm actually
Cameron's part of a private Facebook group where people post the addresses and the names. So the 21st.
But it's usually like you see women being like, we'll get up and do a speech, and it's always like, I've written a poem for my friend or whatever. And it's cute if you're their
this
friend.
Feels sexist.
Yeah. Well, you never see guys get up and do poems for their friends.
I guess. And that's why fragile masculinity is such a problem. All genders should be able to bond.
I guess
the
point
way.
Is I'm making that it's never like, it's never good for anyone other than the person it's for.
Yeah.
Everyone else is always like, oh, fuck, we have to sit through a poem.
You're
now?
An acquaintance stuck there, the bar's closed, and you just, oh, Tom and I.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
21st.
We actually did go to 21st once, and it was just like, what are we doing here? We're both like, you know, closing up on 30 eventually, and we're just here at some 21st party. What are we doing?
We went to a 21st, and the first thing we find out is that because the person it's being thrown for doesn't drink, there was no bar money tab. On the bar.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And instead, they'd put all that money into... like covering the floor with like toys from preschool because it was like a Disney themed 21st. Yeah,
so it was rough. We had, you know, seeing speeches, it's not unlike this moment.
No. Yeah. And then they, okay, so tell us what happened. Once they started singing this song, which was about going on the Gong Show and to perform.
While they're on the Gong Show.
While they're on the Gong Show.
They're on the Gong Show.
It was meta. The audience,
you can only assume that this song
restless.
Was sung a few months ago in the preparation of them going on the Gong Show. And then they're like, what? Well, now that we've decided it, I know a song we have.
Yeah, oh, God.
And then the lyrics of the song totally drowned out by the immense boos of the audience.
Yep, straight. Mm. It's almost instant restlessness from everyone because it's people, what they're witnessing is neediness. And I think
really, one of the things that will turn off an audience.
We
so
are
bad.
Animals at the end of the day. Where we have an animal brain with a human consciousness over the top of it. Human consciousness has empathy. So at first when they come out, we go, okay, I want to be respectful and nice to these people.
I want to enjoy this.
But the moment that we see a hint of neediness or vulnerability.
No, it's not vulnerability. It's weakness.
It's weakness. We see
vulnerability,
the weakness.
That's sexy.
But when we see weakness or we become animals, we turn on them immediately because we go, these people will threaten the herd somehow. Yeah. Mm. They will draw predators to us. Let's get the fuck away from these people. And they start started booing. The judges immediately all jumped up and started trying to gong at once.
And this was like not one of those acts where it's like, oh, this is shit, this is gross, we've got to gong them.
They
this
were
was
talented.
People being talented and trying to be kind of like a phony sincerity, but there's a deep sincereness.
It was
in like
too earnest. And it was, anyway, they got gonged off very quickly.
And they broke their fucking hearts. You could
saw
see
the
it.
Camera lingered. And we saw, you could pinpoint the moment their hearts broke.
In the moment, in the post-act, post-mortem, when they were talking to the judges, as they came up, Tommy Maitland, Mike Myers, encased in what I can only assume is several inches of thick plastic, shielding his actual face from this fucking terrible show, comes up to them and says, oh, I thought you were just fantastic.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Imagine being consoled by a character.
That is the lowest point you can be in showbiz. When
and you could
someone
see that it didn't quite
pretending to be
on the
someone
guy.
Else tells you that they thought you did all right.
Imagine you're sitting in Times Square, you've just been dumped, and you're sitting there pondering your life, and then one of those grubby Elmos or minions comes up to you. He's like, oh, baby, to me, and checking on you. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Mm. And, dude, did that happen to you?
Nah, mate. Minions wasn't out when I went to Times Square.
Cool, dude. That's awesome. Good. I was worried for a second.
Yeah, yeah. It was a giant Jason Biggs. Oh.
Someone was cosplaying as Jason Biggs. And next to him, an immense pie. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Yeah, that actually...
Fuck, where's that porno parody? Some woman is someone in, like, a full-body American... Like, a pie suit. Costume.
Yeah.
Just getting fucked.
Dude, I'll watch it.
But like we're saying, this was a really tough moment.
Yeah. And that's what this...
This shouldn't have aired. You see at the end of the show... At the end of the show, there's a lot of acts that come out. Like, there was one where it was a guy dressed as a leprechaun with an accordion that didn't make it to air, but he was at the end of the episode when they bring everyone out, SNL style, to, you know, thank Lorne and clap him off. But they're not in there. This was too hard to watch. And I think it was because so many people got gonged off, they didn't have opportunities to... You know, fill the show out.
I think you've just described my entire experience with the Gong Show right then in three words, which is hard to watch.
Mm.
It really was. It was a failure. My opinion is that Tommy Maitland is an interesting character, an interesting experiment, but completely wasted on this format, as I've said before on this show. And I think maybe we all agree in that. Maybe it would have been interesting to see Tommy in different light, to see him as just a...
If this was a Larry Sanders style show, where it's Tommy Maitland is the host of the Gong Show, but it's about the backstage antics, but then they do get real people to be the acts on the show and we see some of that, that would have been fantastic as a meta experiment, seeing this guy transition from, you know, across the Atlantic to try and, you know, get his money back because he's been gambling broke. And we're seeing that thing. We're seeing his little son,
kind of a
also
dice.
Played by Mike Myers, naked in the bathtub, trying to connect with him. That would have been fascinating stuff, seeing old clips of this guy doing, like, you know, Comics Unleashed or whatever, you know. You know, that Red Nose Day type stuff in,
Well, the thing about this show is it is hard to watch because every time you're like, oh, I need to pay attention, Mike's on. Mm. He's gone in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And what's up next is, of course, a man balancing on a ball playing the recorder in his nose.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like we were being trolled.
Yeah.
I feel like we spent a large part of this podcast saying all we want is for more Mike Myers. We want more Mike on our screens. We need more Mike content. And then we got it and... It was just glimpses of him.
Yes.
And
it's
we
like
had
dangling
to
in front of you and we can't reach the pie to fuck
four,
it.
40, 10 40-odd minute episodes to get maybe 20 minutes of Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Like, we just got glimpses and moments where he'd smile or he'd raise his eyebrows and we'd go, oh my God, there he is. That's Mike.
That's Austin behind there.
But then
there.
It would just straight away, we're watching some fucking shaving cream bullshit song again.
Oh, gosh.
It was, we were being trolled. You know what it reminded
again,
me of?
Again, as someone who's listened to all the Gong Shows, but it did never, like, watch the show or look up the song, it's worse than you could imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Shaving cream.
Yeah.
It deserves to be gonged off immediately. And yet there it is. And they have
to
so many crowd shots where everyone is visibly not singing along.
Oh, God.
Don't you think? Like,
yeah. And even in the last episode, I mentioned in the second last one that Will has a moment of recognition that this is bad. In the last episode, when Tommy's getting everyone to stand up to sing along with the shaving cream song, Will Arnett, as a judge, is the last person to stand because his... All his body language
and that's
is saying,
the national anthem of Gongtopia.
Yeah. And he won't stand for it. And he's not, you know, fair enough. I wouldn't stand for it either. I think, you know what this reminded me of, and this is very specific. You guys probably, I don't know if this is mainly only for a couple of listeners, but I'll throw it out there anyway. It reminded me of Twin Peaks came back this year, and everyone was very disappointed for a little while because the main character, Dale Cooper, did not come back in the way they wanted him to come back. And that is how I feel about having Mike Myers now. Yeah. We wanted him, we got him, but it was not what we wanted, it turns out.
As a Mike Myers fan, had we not done this podcast, if we had just been two guys, film critics out there in the world...
Highly esteemed.
Very, very esteemed. Honestly, we're called the children of Margaret and David in this country, and that's really high
praise. You shouldn't look that up, but that is what we are called.
It's true. And so watching this, I would have been watching this nevertheless at home had we not done this podcast.
Yeah.
I would have been on this Russian stream. I would have been fucking up my computer that has very important documents on it. And it would have been really I wonder if I would have enjoyed this show had I not been, you know, commissioned to analyze it. And because I would have been watching and going, being excited to see Mike again.
Yeah.
But the disappointment I have, I wonder if it had still been there.
Now,
just been delighted seeing the guy that I love so much that I'd miss so much.
He's not there. He's there for milliseconds where something takes him by surprise, but the whole thing is so heavily scripted and, you know, and he only gets like a single line that he kind of delivers in the Tommy Maitland style. Mm. There was one point where he did that famous catchphrase that we all know and love.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a cheeky monkey? You are. No, you are. Mm. But on his bit of the call and response, all he did was sell, no!
Yeah.
And I really thought he was going to leave it there, but then he did the you
are.
He
said, no, you are. And I like that, actually. I like the cheeky monkey thing because the call and response thing, seeing a whole crowd respond to Mike Myers, makes him feel like the figurehead of a cult. And that made me feel like I wasn't the only one out there in the world seeing other people, you know, look up to the guy and worship him. It made me feel not alone for once in this whole entire world.
That is psychotic.
A screening of Austin Powers.
That was awesome.
Okay, I love the cheeky monkey tag too, but I just think he only says it once per episode. Mm. He also set up in all the preamble to the show that he has another catchphrase, which is, you've got no proof, which I don't think he said on the show.
Once or twice, maybe.
Mm.
But Cheeky Monkey is also the catchphrase of Simon the Bath Boy. So
yeah.
I would
kill to see the cutting room floor of this show. I guarantee you that we could get a great fucking hour of Tommy Maitland content where he's throwing out catchphrases and he's saying funny shit.
Like
he's being
doing
weird.
This stuff in the crowd. I can imagine him doing that kind of warm-up stuff
but
in
it's
the crowd.
Like, but we don't see any of it. And that's why I pray that there is no season two. I pray. But I'm convinced there won't be. Mm. I don't think I need
to. But I can imagine. You said there was a moment that made you convinced that there was going to be no season two.
There was one of those fucked circus acts that are on this all the time. It was two girls with whips and they were whipping things and breaking things and all that shit. It was kind of, it was whatever it was.
They were dressed up as Catwoman. Cameron loves cats. He got horny. I could smell it in the air.
they were dressed up as his two favorite things, cats and a woman.
Yeah. You could smell a proteiny smell.
Yeah, there
in
was
the
a
air.
Sinewy metallic smell in the air.
Yeah, there was a cum-esque flavor to the oxygen.
And they got Will up to make him hold a flower and they whipped the flower out of his hand. It was pretty cool. And then one of them said, put the flower in your mouth and we'll do it. And he refused.
He went, oh, no.
And he went and sat down and backed away from them. And I thought that is the exact moment that it didn't get commissioned for season two because there's no risk taking on this show.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett, who should be selling this show to the masses, won't even do that.
I think this is almost Will Arnett's audition reel for being a judge on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And I think clearly towards the end of it, he was like, this needs to be more like America's Got Talent. I think I smelt a regret in him that he was committed to the kind of vibe of the Gong Show, which is circus acts and weird acts and like, you know.
Celebration of weirdness. Yeah. But then it became about who's got the best tech.
Are you sure you could smell regret? Are you sure you can just smell maybe...
I smelled like a kind of metallic regret in the air, and then it got steadily higher and higher, and then you asked me to smell your fingers.
Yeah. Can we try and get a little positive? towards this.
Yes,
I think that it hasn't been all bad.
No, not at all.
And I don't want to recap the moments that we've had in the past about this that we enjoyed, but was there anything in the last two episodes that gave you any kind of joy or horniness?
Yeah, honestly, there was something I really loved and connected with. There was one act in particular that was really, I really got upset that they didn't get full tens.
Okay.
One of the best things and most humble men I've ever seen in my life. It was a man of Mediterranean heritage, I will say it.
Okay.
Who was tossing pizzas around, like building a pizza dough base, as one does when they're making a pizza. But he was doing it in a fashion that was absolutely breathtakingly spectacular. Like, it honestly floored me what he was doing. The way he was tossing it around his head, he put a blindfold on, and then the pizza dough ran across his arm span, like rolled down it. He tossed it then between his legs, like he laid down breakdancing almost with a giant pizza dough getting bigger and bigger, wider and wider circumference as he's spinning it around. And it was fascinating. It was, honestly, was mesmerizing seeing him do this. You know, taking something I love, which is pizza, and turning it into
taking something you love, unflavored pizza dough,
and turning it into a high art form was fascinating to me. It was wizardry. It was magicianry. It was amazing. It was the height of Italian culture and theater. And then he tossed it over to Tommy, getting Tommy involved. And then at the end, when they're scoring him and telling him how great he was, he was so humble.
Now,
honestly,
you,
he was so humble. He was like, oh yeah, you know, I don't cook those ones. That one's just for show and stuff.
You
like
said
that.
After you got more and more excited during that act, and then when it was finished, you said, and I quote, "That is the most talent I've ever seen."
It was
and
so
you
much
meant
talent.
It. You
was
meant
so,
it
was
watching
talent.
You watch this slightly overweight man and perform circus tricks with pizza dough was like, I assume it would have been like sitting next to a young girl watching Lady Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And this is why representation is so important in today's media. Because you were so thrilled to see someone...
Someone of your own brethren up there.
We need more husky Mediterraneans out there on the screens. Because it's an underrepresented factor of the entertainment industry now.
I think you are happier seeing finally, after all of these dancing reality shows, someone's doing something we can all enjoy, which is making the pizza dough dance.
Yes, it was fantastic to see it.
The main protagonist of Italian culture.
I honestly felt so proud.
And even though you are not an Ital.
No, I'm Greek. It's about the same thing. Uno fazzo, uno razzo. That's a phrase that we have between Greeks and Italians to say one face, one race, we're the same.
I know another phrase that your people have, which is il coso nostro.
It means this thing
this
of ours.
This thing of ours.
Yeah, this thing of ours.
Now, I don't mean to imply that all Mediterraneans are into...
We're a little corrupt.
Organized crime.
No, we're not. No, I'm proud communist.
Yeah.
I'm a proud communist family.
Communist stock.
Alexei's very into disorganized crime, like pirating the Gong Show.
Crime
stream. That really makes you wonder what you're doing with your life. Like infecting your computer with many viruses and serving in a botnet so you can watch 40 minutes of Tommy Maitland.
Well, it was actually 1.5 hours. We watched a couple of Fs.
Fuck, man.
Oh, my God.
I mean, then also Isla Fisher, she's an Aussie. That felt cool as well.
She's
a red Aussie. Did you feel proud?
I did. I felt finally like I was seeing my people up there on the stage. Feisty redheads who are bubbly.
Yeah, with an Australian accent.
With an Australian accent. And we were in Isla during this. We thought she was really good. She was a great judge.
I think we've kept on talking about her. We were like, oh, she... Like, we kept making hypotheses about her personality. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, she is absolutely an aunt that would flirt with her nephew.
Yeah.
Just like a little bit. Not in a weird way, but just...
She'd
no,
be
a little,
that aunt who, when you're 15, she'd say... You're looking really hot. Or she'd be like, oh, nice arms, and like grab your arms.
You're growing.
Yeah. Or like,
wow, you're about to break a few hearts.
Yeah, you're going to be a little heartbreaker, and you'd like get all fucked
like,
up in your
God,
head
I
about it.
So.
You're like, Jesus Christ, my aunt is telling me, and she's beautiful.
You're
I can't
like doing
think
the
about
math.
This. But then, like I said to you guys, it's the type of thing that years later, like 10 years later, you'd be telling your friends, yeah, I had a hot aunt growing up and stuff. Yeah.
Might keep it a secret.
She's the kind of person who would like bum a dart from the staff at a wedding.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You'd find her out the back, just hanging out with the bus boys. She was so good in this.
She
I loved
so
watching her.
And she's got that raspy voice. That's awesome, you know. You imagine her at the set of those ING directors just chuffing them down.
Well, you know what? I reckon she would have been hanging out with the pizza guy. backstage.
Oh, backstage, if old Mario, whatever
his
name was.
Should have been going, Mario, mate, we love pizza in Aussie.
Yeah, we love it down there. We She's put been an egg there. On it. We yeah. put an Aussie
pizza. We got an Aussie pizza. We crack
we put
an
some
egg,
egg
on
it.
Some
put
beach
some bacon.
Bacon.
Pineapples. We put it all on there.
And I reckon
we've got a thing called
Mario
the meat
would
lovers.
Have been going, Mamma Mia, what are you guys doing a pizza down in Australia? And she would have been like, come to Leichhardt. I'll show you.
Come down to Haberfield. We'll show you what it's like down there.
Yeah. That's so cool. She's down to earth. And I feel just so jealous of Sacha Baron Cohen for having such a bubbly, feisty, redhead wife. I would like to be...
Married to Sacha
Baron Cohen. I think. I'd get to be in Grimsby of all... I mean,
you think you'd be in Grimsby if you're married to him? That
she was in it.
Oh, she was in it.
Yeah.
You would love to be his Julie.
Yeah,
my Julie.
I'd like to be my Julie. Yeah. I'd like to be his wife. Oh, boy.
All right, guys.
She was good. Obviously, Jennifer Aniston was pretty good, too. She was...
I love Jennifer Aniston. Courtney Cox was good, too. Jack Black was good.
Will Arnett was the only dark spot on the judges'
such a
panel
shame,
these episodes.
In early days, he was a bright spark because
he was
got
on
it
too much. He was on it far too much.
Yeah, he was exposed to it. It's like those people you see at, again, fringe festivals whose eyes deaden
you know
a
what
little
it reminds
bit more
me
with
of?
Each
it's
passing
like when,
year.
When someone is a comedy room runner and they have to jump up because no one shows up. It's like that. Like I reckon people were booked and then they cancelled and they're like, Will, you're going to have to go back
have
on.
To do
he's
it,
like,
mate.
But I haven't even shaved. And maybe like,
I haven't even shaved
go.
My shitty goatee off my clearly like, middle age crisis face.
He's like, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, fuck.
Man,
I love
good,
Kevin.
Dude, that's some good dialogue, man.
Yeah.
Dude, imagine if Kevin was on this one.
Actually, he would have been great on this.
Yeah, he would have been great.
To be fair, Kevin Smith would have been a great judge on this.
What if they've gotten, instead of Tommy Maitland to host this, Silent Bob?
Oh, gosh. Dude. He would have not many lines.
Yeah, but he'd do a lot of faces. Yeah. He'd point his
and just for those listening at home, Alexia pulled his mouth over to one side of his face.
Yep.
Not unlike Silent Bobby.
Actually, if they got Jay to host this,
wow.
That'd be fucking...
What if they got Silent Bobby Bacala?
What?
R.I.P. It's a Sopranos thing. It's this thing
about
us.
It's this thing about us.
Yeah,
you won't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, Italian culture. I fucking love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's this thing about us. Don't worry about it. Guys, I think we need to celebrate the fact that it's over.
Yeah.
We need to be glad that it happened, but we need to be thrilled that we're done with it because now I think Mike is free and I think we've got some Mike projects coming up in the future.
They're in the can. Terminal is in the can.
It's in the can.
Which is Terminal, if you don't know, Tom, is the upcoming Mike Myers movie. Some it doesn't have a release date yet, but it's scheduled for 2017, which is the year of our Mike, where he's back, and it stars Margot Robbie, produced by Margot Robbie, and it's got Simon Pegg in it, and apparently it's a thriller, like an assassin thriller.
Really?
We don't know what Mike is playing in it yet. A trailer has not been dropped. We don't know.
We're hoping he's playing Tommy Maitland.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was hoping Austin. And Austin has to stop these killers from killing Margot Robbie.
It's kind of like Cloverfield, like the 10 Cloverfield Lane. It's a secret sequel.
I would give anything for a gritty reboot of Austin Powers.
Okay. Well, you got it. It's called Grimm's Boss.
I've had a lot of time to think about this, and I really think I'm glad that we got the Gong Show, even though it wasn't what we wanted.
I think
because
so too.
It really provided some perspective.
It started an international discussion about Mike Myers.
Yeah, he's back. We can't deny he's back. And we've got Terminal in the can, a few other projects coming up.
Shrek 5 is coming up.
Yep,
rumors about Austin Powers 4.
The Del Close movie.
Well, actually, he did just drop out of the Del Close movie. Tragically,
We lost the Del Close movie.
We have talked about the cyclical nature of time many times in this podcast and how things have kind of come in that we didn't expect, but then it makes perfect sense in some way. So Mike Myers did, in one day, we got two Mike Myers stories. That Mike Myers had dropped out of the Del Close movie where
tragically,
he was to play Del Close, who tragically we did lose some time
tragically,
ago.
Tragically, we lost... Del Close, the man.
Del Close,
and
a famously dead improviser.
The untitled Del Close.
We lost the untitled.
Well, it actually was called Guru, I believe.
Oh, that's probably why he dropped out.
Yeah, probably.
He got triggered.
Yeah, probably. So he did drop out of that, which was to be a movie where Del Close took under his wing a young protege of improv comedy, which Mike Myers himself was. So that was a cyclical nature of time there because he was a protege of Del Close at some point in his life. cyclical nature of time.
Do you think Mike had to drop out of that because he wouldn't stop doing the pinky in the mouth?
So space jump. Just touch him and say the word, okay? And I don't want you to touch him and say a word. I'd say like, ooh, delicious.
Now so that's cool.
In one day, we got the story Improv. That he had dropped out of that project.
Okay,
but then, hey, time swept him back up into
the
that
clouds
circle,
parted. The sun shone down on another news item, revealing what, Alexi?
Mike Myers comes full circle with Bohemian Rhapsody. Wow. Bohemian Rhapsody, known to be one of the greatest moments of Mike's career in the movie Wayne's World. Yeah. He's headbanging to it with Dana Carvey. It's a great iconic moment in film history and in Mike history. And then he did recall it in The Love Guru in a very unfortunate way. Like, he did play Bohemian Rhapsody and he looks at the camera like, hey, remember?
Remember when I was funny?
Remember this thing, guys? Mm. And so now it has been announced that that he is in negotiations for a role in the Bryan Singer-directed film about the seminal British rock band with Mr. Robot's Rami Malek playing frontman Freddie Mercury in the Queen biopic.
Yeah. And it doesn't say what role Mike is going to be playing in that, but
it is unclear at this stage.
It is a perfect indication of the cyclical nature of time. Mike is reflecting upon himself, his own career. I think I'm excited about that.
I am interested in this because, as we know, he fought very hard to have that Queen song be in that in that scene. And he had written it differently to the way it was directed by Penelope Spheeris. I think Penelope Spheeris nailed it and made it an iconic moment by making it very grounded and real by just having them headbang to it and you know, lip sync the lyrics to it. Originally, it was meant to be more operatic where they were kind of reenacting
acting
out the lyrics in a fun way. So you know that he wrote that specifically into his script to like make this moment really alive because he loves this song so much. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do with this world of Queen.
This is great. See, this is a good silver lining. If it wasn't for the Gong Show, maybe this would never have happened.
Mm.
So we have to be thankful for that.
I'm just going to let you guys know there's more than one paw on a monkey. Right?
Oh,
I reckon you're cruising for a bruising.
Oh, no.
Don't say that to us. Absolutely don't say that. But at the end of the episode, so we don't know where Mike, what's happening with Mike right now.
Mm.
We're not going to be getting a weekly dose of him anymore. And that he ended the show by saying something that almost seemed like a catchphrase.
Mm.
And he said, don't go chasing waterfalls, just stick to the rivers and lakes you're used to.
That was Tommy Maitland saying that, but I feel that that was Mike Myers saying that to us.
Mm. Was it? Do you think it was a message of help, a coded message?
I think it was a coded message directly to the Mike Check Republic where Mike was saying, guys, don't worry, I know I strayed from the rivers and lakes that I'm used to.
And he tried to spice it up for
us. I chased waterfalls and, you know,
you guys are one copy of Catcher in the Rye away from being found, like, with a gun near Mike Myers.
Yeah. I'll be following him out the front of the Dakota with a,
I'll be
of Canada by
I'll
Mike
be
Myers.
There too. I'm just there to protect him, man. If something shit goes down, I'm there for it.
Oh, thank God. Mr. Myers, I would have died. But fortunately, this copy of Pete's Meteor in my breast pocket deflected the bullet.
I think the final episode of Mike Check is me there protecting Mike and Cameron has come to kill him.
I really
both
hope it doesn't come
of
to that.
Canada,
you absolutely both there. Shoot each other at the same time.
All right, I think that's just about all we can talk about. Thank you for coming with us on this Gong Show journey.
Yeah, thank you. And please stick with us. There's only one Mike Myers movie left in the canon at the moment.
Mm.
What is it?
It is a movie, Supermensch, the 2013 directorial debut of Mike Myers documentary about the guy that was Alice Cooper's agent or manager.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's apparently a really great movie. I'm looking forward to it. I'm scared and sad that our journey might be coming to a close, to an end.
It might be ending. But, you know,
for at least some time, because there are, like we said, many Mike Myers projects coming out.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I've got a show. It'll be in the Sydney Fringe, but it's going to be an absolute mess. It's called King Baby Live. Sam Campbell's going to be in it.
Great.
Yeah, it's what are the I think Cameron's going to be in it. I talked to him a few months ago about it.
Oh, yeah, if you want me to do it, I'll do it.
I would love that.
All right, great. Looks like I'm doing it.
Well, I'm proud of you, boys. Congratulations on the success of King Baby. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful evening.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
We have got a project with our hero, Rove McManus, coming up.
Are you guys doing...
Yeah, we're doing a project with Rove. It's we have come full circle in many ways during this podcast. Yeah. And this is one of them. Rove McManus, he was our hero growing up, and now we're doing a live show with him called The Popular Experiment, where we will basically be doing Mic Check Live with Rove McManus.
Yeah, so that's during October, and I think
the start of every November. Monday of October from October 16th. But so it's going to be, we're very excited for it and nervous because, you know, we're worried about coming full circle and that being the end of our lives, and that's it. You know, that's where the journey ends, is we bring up our queen, and then that's it.
Yeah. I'd just like to say a big thank you to the Horny Babies that came to the taping of my live show the other night in Sydney. You made me feel...
like a million beans.
$1 million. thank you so much.
It was such a great night. Tom and I were both there. And Cameron,
yeah, thank you both.
You look so handsome. You look like a young Kevin Klein or Errol Flynn up there. You look so beautiful doing your stuff and strutting your shit
incredible.
Out there.
Incredible. Those broad shoulders just dominating that microphone.
You were so funny as well, Cameron. I was so proud to see it.
Thank you for
you
coming.
Were like a you. You, it was like seeing God toss pizza. I felt so proud.
It's the second most talent I've ever seen.
Wow, that's so exciting. Thank you both for coming, and thank you, Horny Babies, for coming. You made me feel great. And join us next week for Supermensch. You know how we should end this? We should end the way we always end, Mic Check.
Well, actually, for the first time.
For the first time, by singing the song that we all know and love. If you could please get the lyrics for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sing along, as I'm sure you've all watched The Gong Show and you all know the lyrics.
To the national anthem of the Mic Check Republic.
And we are holding
hands. We are linking arms.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked in my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Thank you, everybody.
Yay.
It's my check. It's my check.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.